When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Summer or winter, he's the voice of sport in Aotearoa. This is Mornings with Ian Smith on SENZ.
Well, I don't know if he is the voice of sport talking about me. I think perhaps the bloke we're about to talk to is more so the voice of sport in New Zealand. He covers so many more bases on so many more avenues within the media, and he's damn good at all of them. I'm talking about Andrew Mulligan, and Mo, we want to talk about the NBL and the NBA with you, of course, because it's one of your pet subjects, but... we've been discussing this morning the merits of Scott Dixon. You'd have come across this as well. And we have to look at ourselves in the mirror at times, and from time to time, and say, do we acknowledge this guy as much as perhaps we should? What do you think about that? Does he get due recognition in this country?
Oh, look, you can never get too much recognition if you're... if you're a sports person in any gender, in any sport. I think the thing that holds Scott Dixon back is that it's not Formula One, and I think we've just got this history. We've had great Formula One drivers, but what he does on a day-to-day basis in IndyCar is lost on a lot of people in New Zealand. I mean, your listeners will know exactly who he is. Many will know exactly his accomplishments and how consistent he is. And for such a long time, Smitty, I was very fortunate enough to go to his very first Indy 500 back in 2003. And he in the latter stages of the race, he was top 10. He just had a bit of a careless whoopsie, you could say, under a safety car and just hit some debris on the track and spun out, and that was his race. But even then, though, the raps on him were amazing. I think he won Rookie Driver of the Year. He was tremendous. So, yes, I think he does get recognition now. Not enough. Like, he's got to win Indy 500 again and again for it just to break through that consciousness of, like, he's better than Richie McCaw, he's better than Dan Carter, he's better than the best rugby team at the moment in the world, for New Zealand audiences to appreciate that.
Right. Thank you for that summation. It is at the moment the Bulls in first on talking NBL here, the Saints, the Nuggets, the Tuatara and the Ayers. They are our top five in our local NBL. And we've got to start by asking about the Franklin Bulls and their run so far. Quite incredible. And one of their stars, Luther Muhammad, averaging 28.5 points per game.
Oh, Smitty, Luther Muhammad is nice. He is such a smooth player. He's perfect for the Franklin Bulls, who are a tough, big defensive team. They're not a fast-paced team in the South NBL, but they are a team that will match up on defense very well. They're very rugged. But Luther Muhammad just gives them extra dimension on the offensive end. They're very well coached. I've heard that they run six times a week in training. Now, for a South NBL team, that is a lot. These guys, I mean, the imports are pros, but everyone else is part-time. And for a team to run six times a week under head coach German Sebastian Gleim, that is very, very, very good for a Bulls team. So that's probably why they haven't lost yet. It also helps that they've played most of their games so far, being 4-0. It's still early doors, but heading into round five, they are the team to beat, obviously, because they're on top. And the Tuatara and the Saints, for mine and the Ayers, they're the ones that are going to give the Bulls a lot of trouble as we get deeper into the season. So there is a massive game coming up. What's today? Tuesday? Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, I'll be on the call. The Tuatara will host the Bulls at Event Finder Stadium, and that will be a game of the season. If not the game of the round, it'll be game of the season.
The Tuatara just a little bit underwhelming at the moment. From your point of view, were you expecting the start?
I didn't expect them to drop two games, but then they've also had a couple of guys in and out of the lineup too. Like the Tuatara, they really rely on their starting five. Their bench isn't particularly deep. The Bulls, in contrast, they can go 8-9 deep when they have everybody there and fit and healthy. But the Tuatara, they really rely on their veteran core of Cam Glidden, Corey Webster, Tom Vodanovic, Rob Lowe. Like, those guys are the ones that drive the Tuatara. And they've had Tom Vodanovic come in a little bit later. Cam Glidden missed a game or two. So that's why they're not on top at the moment. But once they get rolling like they have in previous seasons, they're going to be very hard to beat. I mean, I called the game where they blew out the Southland Sharks or Witness at the moment by 40 points. And they were just clinical. They didn't do anything particularly special. They were just very, very well drilled. They know exactly what their roles are. They had three scorers score 23 points in that game on Friday night against the Sharks. Nobody is out there just relying on some import to get 40. They just do their job, and they do it very well because they've got these four guys who are close to 30 or well over 30 years old who have been around for a very long time. They've got a great coach in Aaron Young. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow night between the Bulls and the Tuatara.
What have you made about the start to their inaugural season by the Fi?
The Fi, yeah, the Fi. I mean, they got their second win. I actually tipped them to be last in the South NBL, but I don't think they will be. Obviously, now the winless Sharks are at the bottom, and I can't see them getting more wins than the Fi. Matt Lacey is a good young coach as well. He's got a good pool of talent. The imports there, they're pretty solid. You can always throw a few aspersions the imports way when they come to New Zealand and they just don't like where they are or the situation they're in. Or you also wonder, you know, how come they've ended up here in New Zealand, because the pay isn't tremendously big compared to where you can go overseas. But if you get yourself at least two good imports, then you're doing pretty well. So the only reason I picked the Fi to be last is because they just don't have a culture. They don't have a playing group that has been there, done that. But they still won without two players, Jaden Bazan and Jaden Boucher, who both were out with concussions. There's two New Zealand role players that they missed, and they still took care of the Sharks at home. So that's great. It's great that the new team isn't winless and they've won two games. Conversely, the Southland Sharks are in a world of trouble at the moment.
Yeah, let's look at them. Their record is poor. As you say, and it's just the losses, Mal. It's the margin of some of these losses, which must be greatly concerning. 15 points to the Fi, but the 40-point loss to the Tuatara, that was probably an indication of how long this season's going to be for them.
Yeah, look, I didn't see a lot of structure with what they run offensively and what they did try and run offensively in those two games that I called on the weekend. The execution, the pace, the drill, you could tell that they just hadn't done the reps together. They already had to add another import, Caleb Asprey, who literally stepped off the plane on Friday morning and had to step on the court Friday night. I mean, that doesn't help. He probably doesn't know the sets that well. So it's just a cohesion thing. Guy Malloy is an experienced coach, the Australian, but he'll be pulling his hair out. I don't know when they're going to get a win in the season, to be honest, Smitty. It may be a few teams will miss some guys with national duty, with 3x3 duty, and they might be able to pick up a win at home. Nobody really likes going to Invercargill in the middle of winter. I mean, let's be honest, any sports team, that's the way. It's not working for the Steel at the moment, and netball, that's also a problem for Invercargill sports fans. But at the moment, they just aren't on the same page, and it's going to be a real difficult spot for them to be able to capitalise on anything that they were in the game on Sunday in the third quarter, and then the Fi went on a run, and they just don't have that experience to stop the rot, get back in the game and pull it back and make a run in the fourth quarter to win the game.
I was really impressed with the Saints. I watched the game against the Ears. I was really impressed with the way they finished the game. It was nip and tuck for a large part of it, but they just oozed class as they ran away from the Taranaki team.
Yeah, Taranaki are very good. The Saints are always good. And when I say always good, I mean they're always very good. Like Isaiah Liafa, Zico Coronel, the head coach, he is he's got a beautiful basketball brain, Zico Coronel. He demands excellence on every possession. He has them very well drilled. He knows what they're good at. And when they start hitting threes, it's pretty much lights out for the opponent whenever they play the Saints. So he's got a really strong roster there. That was the game of the round for mine as well. That was a lot of fun to watch that game, because those two teams with the Bulls and the Tuatara, I see them being in the semifinals. And who else we'll get in there. The Nuggets and the Rams, they'll be there and thereabouts. But it's really trying to make up those two spots, 5 and 6, because the 6 teams out of the 11, they'll make the playoffs. And you have a single elimination game like many leagues are adopting around the world now in basketball. So the Saints are formidable, and they're always formidable, and they've got a great game day experience. They're always selling out. They've always got great engagement with their fan base. They've got a long storied history of winning titles there, and that's what they demand every season.
They've got a couple of individuals performing well. People saying that Hyrum Harris is playing his best ever basketball. Isaiah Leofar from the three-point line as well.
Yeah, look, Hyrum Harris, he's there's some great Kiwis in this league, and there's a lot of great Kiwis playing around the world at the moment. But Hyrum Harris is probably the one that's informed the most. Rob Lowe is a tremendous player for the Tuatara, but he is very judicious in the way he plays the game, because he's in his 30s and he knows how to win and how to use his body in the right way. But Hyrum Harris, he throws himself literally on the floor. It feels like every second possession, and it doesn't matter what end of the floor is as well. Hyrum Harris is he's only been in the Tall Blacks since 2022, which I find that stat staggering. But the last couple of years he has been he's matured, basically. He's had a real difficult upbringing, and he's just he's used that to drive him, because he wants to make the most of the ability that he's been given as an athlete. And I think that's the main thing. You just see it in his eyes. He is so focused. He just is unrelenting at both ends of the floor. He's so fun to watch. And Isaiah Leofar, at the end of the Brokers season, he became a bit of a spot-up shooter. And he was he wasn't being utilized enough by the Brokers, in my opinion. And he's now going to the Sydney Kings. And with Brian Gorgian there, the Australian coach, who's coach of the Boomers for the Olympics, he'll thrive under Brian Gorgian. Isaiah Leofar is a very good defender. He's so strong against ball carriers, on those ball handlers, and for him to be able to hit it from outside and then create off the dribble, that just opens up the floor for him, and it's great to see him thriving under Zeca Coronel.
Overall, Mull, just the state of the league as such, you happy with fan engagement? I watch on television, of course, and usually they position the cameras quite nicely, so it looks like the seats are very well populated and the corporates are doing well. Is that how you assess it?
Yeah, look, if you're going to have your free-to-air game as it was that Ayers Saints game, there's no better gym in New Zealand for a South NBL game to be on TV than TSB Stadium, TSB Arena, I should say, in Wellington. It's got the bright lights, the floor looks clean, the engagement is there, the fans are great, the corporates are happy, the team's winning, there's banners hanging up in the back of the gym there, you can see on the baseline camera. Like, that's perfect. That says that the South NBL is doing really well in Wellington and across the league as well. I'm not privy to numbers. They won't let me have any numbers, Smitty. You know, we're just the presenter, the commentator at the end of the line. But I imagine that the viewership is going well. I've heard that it's going well. I've been told anecdotally it's been going well. And fan engagement, like people turning up to games, you can tell that it is growing. And, you know, Southland's got a thriving sporting community, and I just hope that they don't get too disheartened by the way that their netball and their basketball teams are going.
And, you know, that reflects too across, because if they were to have, and it's a sad thing for Southland, actually, because you look at their winter get out of jail card, it's the Southland Stags, who perennially are struggling. And then, of course, that is their offshoot is the Highlanders. Again, it's like the last pick in the schoolyard down there.
I know. They don't deserve it. It's a great region. I don't want to appear patronised or sound condescending about it, but they will be absolutely hating this at the moment. They're almost resigned to the fact that for what they have on offer, they have always had a proud tradition of being a proud rugby province. The Steel were phenomenal there for a very long time in netball. It just hasn't worked out. And whether or not the professional game has moved on from the Southern Steel and how they operate and how they recruit, and the same with the Sharks as well. How they operate and how they recruit they might have to take a very long, hard look at that and change the way they do things, because they did have a great history during the 2010s. They were fantastic. But this time around, the last few years, it feels like the league has kind of moved on from the Southland Sharks, and they haven't really kept up as such, which I hope they do. They're very smart operators in Southland, and I think if not this season, in the off season, they'll make changes. I'm confident.
Scott has just texted in to say, can I ask Mull about how you feel about the standard of the officiating in our league? Is it a talking point within the commentators?
No, it's officiating is always in the eye of the beholder, Smithy. You can see on the players' faces. I think they do a great job, personally. But to be honest, to your text to Scott, there are some times where they make mistakes and they have howlers, and that's not my job to commentate. It's the player beside me who's on the mic with me to make an observation. But to be fair, we get sent point of emphases that what the officials will be looking for. These are part-timers as well. There are very good referees, and there are referees that are coming up through the ranks who want to be very good as well and who are good enough to do it. So that's me sitting on the fence here, Scott. So I appreciate the text. I know sometimes that they don't get it right, and you do wonder how come we can see that, but they didn't because they're right there. So, yeah, it's always contentious officiating in any sport.
We're early into the playoffs of the NBA, Mull. Who is your team? How are they tracking it in terms of your selection going forward to perhaps the playoffs in early June?
Yeah, look, my team, they are the Golden State Warriors, and they are gone. They got eliminated in the play-in tournament. What happens to that roster will be very intriguing.
Clay
Thompson, Draymond Green. So we'll see what happens with that. Steph Curry will be there forever, it feels like. But, yeah, they're gone. So I'm picking the Denver Nuggets to definitely make the NBA Finals. They'll have a tough ride. The Minnesota Timberwolves look really good. With Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, and the way that they just dismantled the Phoenix Suns. Boston Celtics just took care of the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat yesterday as well. They look like they're tracking very well as well. I can't see anyone else really getting up and taking those two teams out in their conferences respectively, so I expect it to be a Celtics-Nuggets NBA Finals. Anything can happen between now and June, though. But, yeah, that's how I'm picking it. And I still think the Nuggets are the favourites here. But I really enjoy the New York Knicks fan base getting their hopes up in the NBA postseason. It is so fun. They were even chanting F Trae Young afterwards when they won. They weren't even playing the Atlanta Hawks. They still carry grudges from several seasons ago in the foyer outside Madison Square Garden. I love that about New York Knicks fans.
I'm actually quite surprised about, because they drifted off the radar when Steven Adams left. OKC.
Yeah, OKC. Well, see, the thing is with Oklahoma, when they did things like let Harden go and Durant go and Westbrook go and Steven Adams, all the like, they got a lot of picks back. They didn't get a lot of players back, but they got a lot of draft picks, and they got a lot of salary cap relief. And so what Sam Presti's done here is just built these young players, and they built around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was at the Clippers, and they got him into the Thunder, and they built around him. And then they get the number two pick, Chet Holmgren, and he had missed last season. The big 7'3" guy, he's in there right now, and he's making a real presence of himself at both ends of the floor. And they've got all these, like, the two Jalen Williams. Like, they're just very, very good defensively. They've got a really good coach. And they're the number one. Like, it's incredible to think that they were the number one seed, given how young and inexperienced they've been over the last few seasons. It really is a great story. But then again, I did see a letter from Sam Presti when he was 16 years old to his local paper explaining what the Celtics have to do to move on from their current predicament. And this is when he was 16 years old. He was already thinking about how his team, the Celtics, when he was a fan, what they had to do with their roster and how to work the salary cap to make it work for them. So, they've taken big strides this year. Whether they can make it to the NBA Finals this season remains to be seen. I'm not so confident. But in the future, they're going to be a real handful in the West.
Mull, as always, pleasure to talk to you, sir. I know you're a busy guy with everything that you do. We appreciate your time and the way you've looked at the NBL, NBA in particular. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Smithy. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, cheers, you too. It is 10:22 here on SENZ. Back soon.